our meeting off and be our first preacher. Real privileged to have you, sir, and I appreciate you coming down all that way from Ohio very much.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Well, amen.
Amen.
I was kind of scared when he asked me to come down here. I thought, well, it'd be maybe a Saturday morning or something, you know, one of these 15-minute messages. How long do I got, brother? Where's the clock at, anyways? I don't use them, but...
Give me a time.
Amen.
But you got another preacher behind
you. Amen. Okay, I'll be quick. Amen. I'm afraid I'm done. That's what my church all says. They don't believe me either, and it's tough. I'm saying, look, here's a clock right here. He's got a clock right here on the pulpit. I'm glad he's got one.
Take that thing down.
They don't worry about that.
What do I do?
Hey, chief.
Yeah. Turn it on. Hey, what's that got to be chief? Now, if y'all don't know this, I'll let you know.
In tech?
Yeah, I was a tech, yeah. But once you get the chief, you forget all that stuff because you have other people to do it for you. He told me that there was some master chiefs and senior chiefs in there. I said, brother, I can't talk to them. I said, you never tell a master chief what to do. I said, you do what a master chief tells you to do. And I'm hopefully the master chief isn't here tonight. But I'll tell you what, brother, it's a blessing. I was in the Navy for 14 years. Lord, I mean, he's a blessing. Man, I tell you what, I consider just talking about it. I brought the kids down here, really, while I was coming down here. Young people, I wanted them to have an opportunity to sing. And Brother Peacock's been a blessing to our church, and he's come up there. I don't know why he took a liking to me, but I'm glad he did. I stood up there for a while, just in the back corner somewhere. And since he was talking to you over a few minutes ago about, I want to go home too. I'm 57 years old. And I tell you what, but God uses little things sometimes, he uses little teeny weeny things. And you can do something for God in your life. And when he asked me to preach down here, I thought, well, Lord, a message immediately popped in my head that I had. And I said, Lord, I really like that message. He goes, yeah, I want you to preach at it. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But boy, it was really good to me when I preached the first time. I like it. I like everything about my God. I like everything about my Bible. I like Jesus. Man, I don't know about you, but that's just the way I am. And I mean, he's been excited from time to time. And my church, they always tell me I yell at them. I don't yell at them. I just think you ought to say what you mean, man, and you believe it, so I believe it. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He's my Lord and Savior. I believe He's my kid. I believe one day He's coming back and get me out of here. Somebody back so y'all can take care of the stuff while we're gone. So he told us to make disciples, and that's what I'm trying to do is make some disciples so I can get out of here and they can have it. Exactly on the ship, that's what we did. I come on the ship and I train the guys up and I leave in 3 years and it's theirs. And then I move somewhere else, and when I come on, somebody else was supposed to do what they were supposed to do for 3 years, and then it was mine. I don't have to change anything. I like my Bible. I mean, and just chapter, I like that about that fill and replenish thing. I think the King James Scholars, those guys are pretty sharp guys. I'm a dummy. I'm from Kentucky, by the way. I'm about as dumb as you can get, and I'm okay with that. I don't care. God loves me, and I love Him. I'm ready to go anytime. But I'll tell you what, I'm thinking, you know, down in verse 18, 17, 18, use the word fill, and up here use the word replenish. And these guys, you know, some of those King James Scholars, I mean, they do like 30, 40 languages fluently. I mean, they're in Oxford and Cambridge and Westminster universities back then that were leading institutions on this planet. Right. And if they couldn't figure out how to use fill and replenish in 18 verses, something's wrong. Man, we got a problem. I can't figure that thing out. They did. I'm okay with it. I got to stop here because I've already wasted about 5 minutes. Thank you, Lord, for letting me come tonight. Lord, I do thank you for Brother Peacock. What a blessing he is. And Lord, to come and see somebody, Lord, talk to him and encourage him. Like he did me in my church. Lord, these young people love him to death. Lord, they wanted to come down here so bad, so excited about coming. Thank you for just the opportunity. And Lord, I could go home right now. I've already been blessed, Lord, just be around my brothers and sisters in Christ on Wednesday night. You can't ask for much more than that in this world, Lord. But Lord, then we get an opportunity to preach. And Lord, this message, Lord, could break it. It should start a meeting or stop us. Lord, you know, I don't want to stop you. I just want to go on and on and on. And Lord, if you come and get us in the middle of this thing or at the beginning, I'm okay with that too. Father, you do whatever you want to do, and I just pray that you bless the meeting for the rest of this week, and we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, I got some favorite men in the Bible. I love all of them, really. I started reading my Bible when I first got saved. long haired hippie drug dealer. I started reading that thing, and I come across Moses, and I see where he messed up, and I'm like, oh, darn it. I thought he was going to hit me with a lightning bolt, because I was looking at Moses. I said, this is one of your big guys out there. I mean, this is a big guy, big one. And he's messed up. And I said, Lord, I shouldn't see that. You're going to hit me with a lightning bolt. And then I seen Abraham mess up, and Adam mess up, and Jacob mess up, and Isaac mess up, and all these men mess up down there, Peter messed up, and all these guys, the Lord said, yeah, you're going to do it too. I said, praise God, hallelujah, that's a blessing to me. That might not be to you tonight. But to me, that was the biggest blessing I ever had in my life. I know now when I fall down, I can pick myself back up, and I can keep on going for Jesus, and I don't care. You know what? The Lord told me to do something, and I don't care what anybody else tells me to do. I'm going to do what He told me to do. The last order He gave me was to preach and start a church. So I said, I'm going to try that. I've been trying to run them off. You can ask them. I've been trying to run them off for 9 years, and they won't go. They will not. They follow me down here. What are you doing with that? I love them, man. They're great. I got some great people. They sent me a note. Somebody sent me a note. I don't know why they do that. I just, you get a hold of people and they send you a little card and you get down and you open it up and there's $40 in that card. Amen. She said, preacher, we love you. And I'm trying to think of why. Why would you care about me? You know, I spit on you and yell at you. I'm mad at you all the time. I'm trying to be nice. I just don't know how. I'm cheap. I mean, come on now. And I'm an old chief. I was in the Navy in the 80s. I mean, I had some great men that I followed that taught me something. You know, men, you need somebody to teach you something. You don't learn it on your own. And God will put you around. He'll look at your heart. The title of this message is A Heart to Serve. Do you have a heart to serve God tonight?
Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about to serve.
Yeah.
Serving Jesus Christ, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I've been doing this for 35 years. A lot of times without my faith, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Amen.
I go through my Bible and see some of the greatest men in the Bible on their face sometimes. And God says, get up. Brother Peacock might preach a message and says, breathe. And I'm like, sometimes that's all you can do.
Amen.
And you do it. So 1 Samuel chapter 13. Let me get into this. I gotta shove because there's another preacher coming. Y'all can say amen. 1 Samuel chapter 13. I'm gonna read 7 verses, and then I'm gonna preach for just a few minutes and I'm gonna be done. Saul reigned, 1 Samuel 13:1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Mismatch and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard of it. Sometimes you do stuff, people get mad, brethren. I'm telling you, get mad, that's okay. Verse 5 says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sands which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched against Mismatch eastward of Bethaven, from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and in rocks and high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and the Gilead. And as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him, trembling. Father, again, thank you for your blessings. Bless the message, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The story goes here, Saul, Jonathan, David. Oh, man, there's so many. I like them all, man. But David is a great man of God. He's a man after God's own heart. You read through the Bible over in 18. Don't go there, but I'm going to read a verse over here. David was a special man. God loved him. And there's a reason why I think God loved him. It says, 18:1, it says, it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And I tell you that sometimes men can fall in love with each other and love each other because of a heart towards somebody. I like somebody who likes God, man. I like somebody who likes Jesus Christ. I like to be around people that lift him up. I like singing. I tell you what, this young group right here, I try my best. You know, this has nothing to do with me. I am nothing. I know I'm nothing. I don't ever want to be nothing. I just want to be a servant of God. That's all I want to be. That's all I've ever wanted to be. But you know, sometimes you can't figure that thing out. It takes some time to figure it out. And when I was 12 years old, I wanted to be a sailor too. I didn't know what a sailor was. Who in the world knows what a sailor is, man? It's a guy who gets on a ship and goes out to sea. I had no idea what that was. So I watched too many McHale Navy movies or something. I mean, something I watched too much of. And I said, I want to be this. So 12 years old, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 22 years old, I get to go in the Navy.
I wanted to be an ET in the Navy. You're talking about a spoiled, rotten kid today. You're looking at one. God's given me everything. Gave me a beautiful wife. Gave me a bunch of good kids. Gave me good friends. Gave me everything I ever wanted. And I'm sitting there going, why would you do that? He goes, because I love you, but I'm trying to teach you something. I'm like, what would you try to teach me? How to be a sailor. I said, be a sailor. Now, if you haven't realized yet, I'm a sailor. I love water. I used to not like water. I had an old senior chief one time, great, one of the greatest men in my life. He goes, Mike? I said, yeah, boot camp. He goes, Mike? I said, yes, sir. He said, don't call me sir. I said, okay, sir, I won't call you sir. He goes, I'm enlisted like you are. I said, yes, sir. You're enlisted like I am, sir. And he goes, quit calling me sir. I said, okay, I will, sir. He said, I'm done with it. He ain't going to stop me. So he says, sailors belong on ships, and ships belong on sea at sea, and your wife didn't come in your sea bag. I'm like, okay, got it. I got it. Don't know what it means, but I got it. Got it. So I put that in my little bag back there, and I said, I'm going to hold on to that thing, because one of these days, I'm going to keep that thing. I'm going to bring that thing back out. And I went through boot camp, went through ETA school, and I learned how to be. I graduated, top of my class. I mean, I knew how to fix stuff, but I wasn't an ET. They sent me to a satellite station, and I got there, and I was fighting with these guys, and I kept trying to learn stuff from somebody, and they wouldn't show me. Finally, after a while, I said, forget you, man. I'm going to learn this on my own. And I just took off by myself, and they said I was one of the best ETs they ever had. You know, I was an ET, but I still wasn't a sailor. Then my boss one day said, Mike, we love you. I was like, get away. Whoa, whoa, back up. What do you mean by that? And he told me some things, and I said, okay, I'm all right with that. He goes, I love you so much, I'm going to put you on a ship. I'm like, no, not a ship. And then a little verse came back in my mind. The senior chief told me, he said, sailors belong on ships. I'm like, why would I join the Navy and not want to go on a ship? I don't want to go on a ship, though. I heard all bad stuff about ships. Ships are they go out to sea, and they're out there forever. And you never see nobody ever again, and you just, all that stuff. And but I said, okay, I'll go, but I don't want to go. I don't want to do this, but I'll do it. And I go on. They put me on a Scott. There was an old senior chief there. Wasn't an old guy. He's a good guy. Senior Chief Floyd Franklin. And I tell you what, brethren, that guy, I walked on the ship, and he had my records in his hand. I walked in ET shop. I just walked in to go to work. That's all I did. I said, send me where you want to go, senior. And he goes, Elliot, right here. He said, they say you walk on water. He said, we're going to find out. I said, senior, that's a lie. He goes, no, they said you walk on water. He goes, I want to see you do that. He walked me up in the radio one day, and he looked at me and said, Elliot, I'm going to tell you something. I said, yes, sir, senior. He goes, I'm not a sir. I said, yes, sir, okay. And he goes, this is radio, and this is what you fix. I said, yeah. He goes, if I ever have to come up here, you better be dead. I said, what? He goes, I'm telling you. He said, I'm a senior chief, and you're second class right now. And if I ever have to walk into radio other than to talk to you, you better be dead. I said, okay, got you, man. I got you. I said, everything will work. I said, anytime you walk into this shop, anytime you walk in anything on the pointy end of the flat end of this ship, it'll work. And I made sure everything on that ship worked. You know what I was learning how to do? Was to be a sailor. A sailor is not an ET or electronic technician or boatswain mate or a deckhand or a machinist mate or a gas turbine tech. It's not. A sailor is a guy who walks on a ship and does what the captain wants. Amen. When I walk on a ship, you know what I do? I said, there's a pointy end, and there's a flat end, and there's the CO up there, and whatever he wants, he's going to get. And I said, you know what he wants? I said, he wants to sit up on his little bridge, he wants to sit in his chair, go around in circles like this, and he wants to push a button, and a missile go off, and something go boom. I said, that's cool, man. I like that. I can relate to that. So if I have to help the fire control techs or the gas turbine techs or the engineers, or I got to help the deck guys, if I have to paint a space, I don't care what I got to do. You know what those old senior chiefs taught me? How to be a sailor. You know what a lot of us don't know is how to be Christians. We don't understand what it takes. We think we trust Jesus Christ and that's it. And oh boy, so much more than that. We miss that whole thing. God gives you men all through that Bible when you start looking at them, you go, that's a man. What made that guy a man? And why does that guy like that guy? And that guy like that guy? And that guy? And Solomon, David and Jonathan, their hearts were knit. Why was that? They both had a heart after God. I like Jonathan. Jonathan's a good guy. I like his armor bearer too. Go over to chapter 14. Before you get to 14, I want to read this right here. In 13, the last couple of verses of 13. Now, Jonathan ticked off the Philistines. Got him mad. Jonathan's just that kind of guy. You ever got anybody mad before? Man, I'm telling you, Jonathan just gets in their face and just gets them mad. And then he turns over to his daddy, and his daddy has some problems, Saul has some problems with him, and here comes all the Philistines, and you got 30,000 of them guys here, and 6,000 horsemen, and just as many people on feet as you can see, as far as you go, and it's just them, and it says over here in 1 Samuel 13, so it came to pass, verse 22, and so it came to pass in the day of battle, that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hands of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Jonathan and Saul, his son, there was found. So they had swords. Nobody else had them. That's kind of stupid to me to start a battle with somebody who's got more people than you can shake a stick at, and you only got two swords. I'm like, why did you do that? You know why David loves Jonathan? Because Jonathan just thought he had a God that could just about whoop up on anybody.
Yeah.
Jonathan had a good heart, man. I like that. You know what I learned in the Navy a long time ago? My God's bigger than just about anybody.
Amen.
And he can take care of you. You know, tonight he can either take care of you and you believe him, or you don't believe he can do it. That thing about the Bible, I have no problem with that fill and refill thing.
Yeah. Right.
I believe there's a gap. Now, when did God? I have no idea. I had three families just leave my church over that. I don't really care. I'm like, you scratch your head and say, look, you think God can only do something? I'm not like that, brother. 6,000 years? No way, man. No way. My God's greater than that. I got a super God. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Jonathan starts this thing off right here. Jonathan starts, and I'm just going to go down through a couple things. Jonathan had a purpose. You know how you learn how to become a Christian? Just like you do a sailor. You have to have a purpose. I had a purpose to go on those ships and fix stuff. Jonathan had a purpose. His dad, they seen all these Philistines come up, and they were coming up against God's people. And Jonathan looked down at verse 1. It says, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. You know, we're sitting here tonight, and I'm sitting here. We got a church we started about 9 years ago. And I'm telling you, I just could not believe that God would ever want to use me for anything. I just could not believe it. I still have a problem to this day to believe that He wouldn't want me for anything. Why would He want me? I know what I am. He knows what I am. My wife knows what I am. Why would He want me? And he goes, that's probably because I want you. I said, but Lord, he said, it's not about you. Do you understand that? It's about me, not you. I'm like, but Lord, that's just hard to grasp there. You know, I just want to do stuff and I want to fix everything. And he goes, you can't do it. Brother Peacock come up here and he slammed me all over the place. And man, y'all think y'all get it here, but you ought to have him come to your church. Oh, it's terrible, man. It's terrible. He come up there and he said, Brother Elliot, he goes, what do you want me to do for you? I said, oh, brother, preach whatever you want. He goes, no, don't give me that garbage stuff. He goes, no, what do your church need? I said, well, brother, I want you to tell me what's wrong with us. So he walks in, and pretty much what you see here is what you see there. And we got the great hymns of the faith and got that. And he preaches one day, and he takes him out to dinner. I mean, I had to pay for this stuff, too. We took him out to dinner. Me and my wife are sitting there, a little pretty Bethy, man. She's sitting there with me, and he looks at me, and I said, okay, brother, what's wrong with my church? And he goes, you are. I'm like, me? He goes, you. And my wife jumps on his side. I'm thinking, what is that? You know what that is? I knew it was coming. You know, if you get a hold of God somewhere along your life, and you don't have to be the greatest anything in the world. You don't have to be great about nothing. You know, all you have to do is talk about Him and lift Him up and say, Lord, I love You. I just want to serve You. I want to see people get saved. I want to see people get on the street. Street corner is a great thing to do. When he told her that, she just ate that up, man. It's like she'd been waiting for 20 years for that thing to happen. 22, 23. We've been married 25, so she'd been waiting 24, 23 years for that. And when she got her opportunity, she's right on it. You know what you got to do? You got to look at life. And sometimes you look at a man's heart and you say, okay, hey, what do you need to do? You need to change. Okay, Lord, what do I need to change? And you need to change how the Lord wants you to change.
Amen.
Not how I want you to change, how God wants you to change. And the only way you're going to find that out is to get along with Him. You know what Jonathan did here? Jonathan somewhere got a hold of God and started talking to God and just thought God could do it. You know what's wrong with our churches today? Nobody thinks God can do it anymore. I think He can. People say, well, how did you get these kids to play? Don't know. You know what I did? That bass right there. I went down to a pawn shop in Dayton, Ohio, and I started going from store to store to store everywhere looking for them things for like $1,500, $1,600, $2,000. I said, I ain't got that kind of money. So I go to this pawn shop and this guy says, Mike, man. He said, yeah. He goes, I've been in here so long, so many times he knows me by first name. He goes, you know, I got one of them in the repair shop, $600. He said, I'll get it all fixed up and I'll give it back. I said, I'll let you have it for $600. I said, okay. So you know what you do? You start buying the stuff and you have it sitting around. Guess what? Somebody comes up and starts playing it.
That's right.
And pretty soon another guy plays it and you get the violins and violas and all this other stuff and you have it around and they start playing it. People say, what'd you do? I started watching churches, man. I'd go from church to church to church and watch these guys. I used to go to Carl Lackey's meetings all the time. I just watch him old preachers, man. That's where I met your pastor. He didn't even know who I was. I was watching him. I was watching him and Brother Lentz, man. Oh, Brother Lentz. That guy was a fireball, man. I tell you, there's so many of them. Dr. Rock, all of them guys, down through there from Monday to Sunday, Dr. Carl Lackey would have them guys in there. And some of them, I couldn't even understand a word they were saying. I'm like, I'm from Kentucky, too. I'm like, what was that? What was that? And you sit there and listen. Y'all never hear a guy named Harry Nix? Brother, first time I heard Harry Nix, I couldn't understand a word that man said. I don't know whether I was just like, I was like, is it me or him? And then somewhere along the line, man, that thing, my ear tuned into what he was saying. I said, I like that, man. And I started listening to Brother Harry and all these guys down through there you start listening to. And what you find out is, what does these guys got that I don't have? I said, they got God, man. Then I had to go back out on a ship out in the middle of the ocean. And you go out there all by yourself and you think, God, there's nobody out here but me, and you don't care. I should be on the shoreline. I should be out there somewhere doing something for you. God one day got me on the back of a ship in the middle of the ocean. He said, hey, Mike. I said, what? He said, what if I want you on the back of a ship in the middle of the ocean? I thought for a second, I said, I guess I need to be on the back of a ship in the middle of the ocean. And you know what I got? I got that step back. And I had some joy come back to me that day I'll never forget for the rest of my life. You know what it is? Because he just said, Mike, it's me and you and nobody else. You know what Jonathan had here? It was him and God and nobody else. But the interesting thing here is about his armor bearer. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all this stuff. But Jonathan had an armor bearer that said, I'll do whatever's in your heart, Jonathan. You show me what's in your heart, I'll do it, man. You know, that guy must have been around Jonathan quite a bit. He was with him along, probably back over when he first ticked the Philistines off, man. He was right there with him. He said, say it again, Jonathan. Say it again, man. Take him out. That guy was a cool guy, man. Right there with him. You know, God gives you sometimes people to hang around you. And they build you up just like David. And when David first met Jonathan, that thing probably clicked between those two guys because he said, that guy's got a heart for God, man. He's a nut, man. I like crazy people. They do crazy things. I mean, David went up against a Goliath. Could you imagine that? Here's a guy looking like that, man. He's way out there. All you got is a sling and a rock. Yeah. And that guy's got swords and armies and everything else. And that stupid guy takes his helmet off. What a stupid thing, man. Here's this little kid, hits him right in the head with a rock. Next thing you know, goes up, chops his head off with his own sword. Jonathan says, I like that. David says, I like what you did over there on that mountain, too. I got to read here. I mean, I'm going to lose this thing. I am afraid to preach here. Because I know all you guys are students. And you're critiquing me, and I'm going to get this big list of what I did wrong. I can already see it coming, man. Just email it. MikeElliott2@yahoo.com. Just email that thing to me. There's nothing I can do. It's over. I told the kids, they said, are you worried, Dad? I said, no, I'm not worried. I'll just never be back there. You guys can come back. I'll be done with this thing. I don't get the chance because people don't laugh me back too many times. I don't know why. One of these days, I'll figure that thing out. But Jonathan had a purpose in his life. He said, there's some Philistines up on top of that mountain. You know the rest of the story. You get to start reading that thing. And Saul sitting over under a pomegranate tree with 600 guys. And just like David when he comes to the battlefield there. And here's all the whole army. The whole army of Israel sitting there. Scared to death. And this little boy comes up. You know what God needs tonight? He needs a young man to just stand up and say, I'll go do it for you, Lord. I'll do it. Just help me. I'll do it. I don't know what to do, but I'll do it. I didn't know what to be. You put me out there by that ocean. I'm going to get on a ship. I smell it. I was preaching one day and a kid came up and said, man, he said, you preach so much like a sailor. He goes, I can smell the salt and taste it in the air. I love that thing, man. That thing is just, I'm like, people say, you're crazy, man. There's a detailer one time when I asked him for a ship out of Norfolk. He said, you're out of your mind. I said, no, I want a ship out of Norfolk. He goes, why? I said, because I do. He said, give me a ship, man. Give me a ship. You know why I like them ships? There's sailors out there that's lost. You know what? You go out there and you start doing your job. Just do your job. That's all I ever did was just did my job. I didn't do anything special. I just fixed stuff. That's what they paid me to do. The other guys didn't fix nothing, and then they say, I'm going to do my job. I'm a great tech. I'm not a great tech. I just fixed stuff. That's what they paid me to do. And I enjoyed doing it. But in the process of doing that, I could talk to sailors. I've got pastors tonight that are pastors of churches off them ships out there. I'm sitting there going, man, multiples. And I'm sitting there going, oh, God, you know what? I'd get a passageway and I'd start preaching at them. And the senior chiefs and master chiefs would all walk back. And I'd preach at anything to move. It was a rat, man. I'd preach at it. I was looking for somebody. You know, they never touched me. Because they said, this kid believes what he believes. He's a good tech. He's got a good heart, and he believes you leave that kid alone. I've had, Mr. Louie, I wish you could met Mr. Louie, little old Italian guy about this on my EMO. He'd eat your lunch if you messed with me. That guy, I was his ET, man. You touch me and you're toast. That guy would let me get away with murder. You know when I like them shifts? I'd get on them shifts there and I'd say, oh God, this thing is terrible. I get seasick, I get this, I get that. It's about 10% of that stuff is really good. 90% of it's a mess. But 10% is fun. You forget all the 90%. It's in people that stick their head out of the rack at night one night and say, hey, Mike, guess what I just did? I'm like, what'd you do? He goes, I just trusted Jesus as my Savior. And there's 90 people in that building, and they all have to hear that. That's great, man. I like it when people get saved. I like it when people trust Jesus Christ, because I know what's in it. Man, it's, you're going to get in the neck in the world, or you're going to get in the neck with Jesus. You might as well just get in with Jesus. It's more fun. I'm telling you, you got to do this stuff, man. You got to go out there and live it. Life, Christian life is living. You got to live. I like living. And if you got to live in the middle of the ocean, you got to live in Dayton, Ohio. You got to live down here. You got to live in wherever you live, live. You know what people are looking up for? They're looking for somebody with life. Jonathan had life. Jonathan was like, let's take him out, man. I like Jonathan. Boy, I sometimes said, Lord, boy, I wish I could have been back here. I'd have probably been one of the guys Jonathan took out. But I just want to be there, man, to watch. If I could have been around these big old mountain rocks they had there, Jonathan comes up to that thing. Man, if I read all these verses, I'll be here all night. I got to shut up. I already know that. Jonathan comes up to these two. He says, come on, let's go over here, man. He says, let's go over to this mountain. This mountain right here. It's the only way up through here. It's a hard, two hard places. Between, you ever been between a rock and a hard place? That's where Jonathan was, right there. I mean, he was between Bozaz and Sheena, yeah, two rocks. And he got between these two things, and one of them means shining, and the other one means thorn. I mean, you're between a rock and a hard place right there. The only place up there, Jonathan goes right there. He goes, we're going to go take him out. Now, they only got one sword, by the way. One sword and one shield, and Jonathan makes the armor bearer carry that thing. Number one, I always say, you got to overcome the obstacles. He looked at those rocks and he said, I got to get access. Number two, but overcome the obstacles. Number three, you got to believe God. Brethren, you're going to, there's some of y'all in here. I thought about what to preach down here. Lord said, preach this. I don't know why, but he told me to do this. This is what I'm going to do. If I get kicked out of here, okay. I love y'all. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. And I hope I get one of those baskets still. I really do. I like apples. Apples are cool. My wife loves them. But that's okay. I didn't come here for this. Brother, I'm telling you what, I did not come here to preach. I came here because I wanted to get a blessing from you guys to me. Not necessarily if I can do anything for you, not me for you. I did not come here to preach. If I got a chance to talk about Jesus, I'll talk about him anywhere I go. But I didn't come for that. It's a heart thing. That's what I'm trying to say. God wants your heart. He said, give me that heart. The hardest thing you'll ever do in your life is figure a way to give him that thing. I'm telling you what, it's hard. I still haven't figured it out, man. I'm like, God, kill me. Do what? What do you got to do to get this thing, man? And you read about David, and you read about Jonathan. John says, I'm going to go up and take them out. I picked them out, man. I like that, man. I like that guy. His armor bearer, verse 7, he said this. He goes, and his armor bearer, 14:7, 1 Samuel 14:7, he says, check your heart. His armor bearer said to him, do all that is in thy heart. If I ask you a question right now, what's in your heart? If God sent a man or a woman in your life, and they walk right up, and they said, do whatever's in thine heart, what would that be? What would that be? This man was saying, David, Jonathan, I'll give you my life, man. He said, you're crazy. There's umpteen hundreds of thousands of men on top of that hill, and you want to go up there. You're stupid, but I'll go with you. What's in your heart? He said, he told him, his armor bearer. His armor bearer. This is the guy who's got to carry the sword and the shield till he gets to a place. You'd realize that guy ain't going to have a sword and a shield when he gets there. That guy's, you think Jonathan's going to give him his, no, you wait a second, we're going to get there. He said, right, he said, and the armor bearer said to him, do all that is thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thine heart. The man knew what was in Jonathan's heart. You know why David loved Jonathan so much? Because they had the same kind of heart. They looked at God and not this world, and they looked at God and said, I know the things in the world has to happen, but I got to look at God first, and those are the things that matter the most. Because it's the point when a man wants to die, but after this judgment, I'm going to stand before him one day. And I'm telling you, brother, if I can get into heaven, and if I can just get there, and Jesus Christ out of the corner of his eyeball, man, just looks at me over here and gets a little twinkling, just like a little smile. He don't have to say a word. just a little smile, man, right here. Yeah, like, you done okay, man. You done okay. That will set me off for eternity. Amen. If you think I'm set off now, you haven't seen me then. I don't even know what's going to happen, man. I wanted to be four things in the Navy. I didn't tell you all that in front. I wanted to be 12 years old. I tell you, I'm spoiled. Y'all don't understand that. I wanted to be in the Navy. I wanted to be a sailor. And I wanted to be an electronic technician. And I wanted to be a chief petty officer, United States Navy. And there's one other thing. The reason I wanted to be these three things is because I wanted to be this one other thing. And this other thing I knew I would never be able to get unless I was an ET. So I made ET and I graduated, taught my class. I did all that stuff. And I got there and then I realized, I said, I'll never do that. And the Lord said, yeah, you would, you stupid idiot. I said, what do you mean? The Lord talks to you. I don't know how he talks to you, but I know exactly how he talks to me. I hear his voice right there, man. It's right there. He says, Mike, he goes, you ever read your Bible? I said, yes, sir. He goes, what happened to Mary over there when I come up out of the tomb? He goes, well, you told her don't touch you yet. I said, why not? He goes, because I'm going to head to heaven, and I'm going to take my blood up there for an offering, and I'm going to come back in a little bit. Within 6 hours, he's back. He goes, how big is that universe? I said, man, that thing's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of light years across. I mean, 186,000 miles per second for billions of light years. He goes, I went there and came back in 6 hours. What do you think about that? I said, that's pretty good. He goes, you're going to do the same thing. He goes, you wanted to be an astronaut, didn't you? I said, yes, sir. He goes, you're going to be one. Amen. He goes, not yet. Yeah. He goes, let go of it, man. I said, you got it, man. You got it. Done. Finished. I'm going to be running the rings of Saturn. I'm going to be running through Jupiter. I can go sit in the sun. I can do, and then I can leave this place. Have you ever wondered what's outside this universe? Man, people say I'm limited. I'm not limited, man. I mean, I met a guy, Lord, one day with my Bible. Had a little red sticker right there. My daughter put that sticker on one of those little smiley faces on a Bible, man. A black King James Bible. What'd you do that for? I'm going into jail. These are criminals in there, man. They're going to laugh at me when they see a little smiley face on my Bible. So I go in there. I forget to take it off. And I go in there. This friend of mine preaches these guys over here. And I'm over here preaching to some other guys. And Brother Tom calls me over. He says, Mike, come over here. I said, sure, man. He goes, can you tell these guys? So I said, Tom, Brother Tom, you told them everything. I can't tell them any more than you told them. How can I tell them any more than what you've already said? And he goes, I said, wait a second. I said, guys, let me ask you a question. So I went through 1 Corinthians 15. I said, Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture, buried, and rose again. They believed all that. I said, do you believe if you died right now, you'd go to hell? And they go, yes. And I said, oh, I believe if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. And all of a sudden, I looked down and see another red sticker. And the Lord said, tell them that. I said, man, that is good. I said, hey, guys, let me ask you a question. I said, let's just say this thing right here is the universe. And there's water above and water below. And that little red dot's hell. I said, but what y'all just said, y'all going to go to that place? And you're going to be there forever, never, 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 ever, 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 and when it's ever, ever, ever over, it's going to be ever again. I said, but me, on the other hand, I get to go anywhere in here I want. I said, but have you ever thought about what, like, is out here and over there and back up here and over here and God's, where God's at? I said, I get to go all them places too. Those two guys hit the deck, man, and both of them trust Christ right there on the spot. Amen. They got up and they said, you go home, tell your daughter. That was the best illustration I've ever seen in my life. Two guys got saved because that girl stuck a little sticker on my Bible. And God said, will you use it? I didn't even know it was there. I forgot all about it. Until I got in that jail cell and those two guys were there. Two souls got saved because a little girl stuck a red smiley face sticker on her daddy's Bible. And I said, oh God, what a wicked sinner am I. You know what God's looking for is a heart. He goes, you got a heart? Will you do what I tell you to do? You know what Jonathan did? What God told him to do. You got to check your heart. Number eight. Number F. There's no room. I only got a couple here, so there's no room for retreat. There's none. When you get into this thing, you know what I learned when I became a sailor? That you're a sailor for life. I went into Wright Pad Air Force Base up there and had to get some ID cards, and the kids all need ID cards, and Beth is sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and the guy goes, Chief! I said, yeah, I like them when they call me Chief on Air Force Base. Now, I don't know if we've got any Air Force guys in here or not, but man, I mean, it's just that rivalry stuff, you know. We got our own airports. We got our own planes. We can take our airports with us. You can't. Sorry, can't help you, man. We got 12 of them. How about, I think there was 12 when I was in, maybe 13. And we had a bunch of them in mothballs. We could bring them out, too. So we got all kinds of stuff. We don't need anybody's help. I like the Navy, man. I like sleeping on a ship at night. I like that stuff. Check out your heart, but there's no room for retreat. You know, when I learned I was a sailor, I'm a sailor. If they called me up today, I got some problem with our military today. I really do. I wish it wasn't, man, it wasn't like that when I was in. There's some things just changed on us. But you know what? I tell you what, if they called me up today and said, Chief, we need you back, I'd tell my church, sayonara, see you later, bye, man. I did that to my wife, left her at a pier front, got on the Ponce. I said, hey, I got to go see her for 6 months, see you later. She looked at me like I said, that's my job. That's what I am. That gray thing right there is what I am. I'm a sailor. I said, that's what I told them I'd be. I said, if I didn't do that, I'd be lying to God. And that's what I'm going to do until I can change that thing. God help me change that thing. There's no room for retreat. Jonathan got up there in that pass, man. He stood there and he said, no, I like this. He goes, then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men and we will discover ourselves unto them. I ain't going to be afraid of them. You know, a lot of times fear, perfect love casts out fear. If you got there's nothing wrong with being a little scared. But man, if you could get a hold of that thing and say, okay, God, me and you, we can win this thing. You can win it, and I can just be there and watch you. That's the way it is. Jonathan did this. He told his armor bearer, so let's go do this. Now, this is a really crazy plan. If they say thus unto us, have you ever done that? I've done that before. It works, man. I started my church like that. I asked God for five things. I thought, surely he won't give me those, and I don't have to start this church. He gave me all five. The day we started, we had all five. I knew I should have went for seven or eight. He would have done that too. He sticks you in a place where you can't get out of it. Then he wants to see what you're going to do. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come unto you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go unto them. But if they say thus, come up to us. Boy, if they do this, man, they're toast. Now, Jonathan has got to climb up the side of this hill. And I don't know if most of y'all ever done much climbing before, but in Kentucky we have them fossil pits and all that stuff, and you go up the side of the mountain, and you're climbing. So his armor bearer's got the shield on his back and the sword, and Jonathan's climbing up in front of him. It says on their hands and feet, if you get here, you got to wait sometimes for God to tell you what to do, but it says never look back. My last point is never look back. Jonathan climbed up on his hands and on his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer slew after him. Now, Jonathan's armor bearer had no sword. Jonathan starts climbing up that thing, and I can just imagine the conversation going up that thing. The armor bearer said, hey, Jonathan, look, man, I'm your armor bearer, man. You're the king's son. You can't go up first. You're going to get your head cut off. You climb up that thing like this. You're climbing. You're going to have to come over the top of that thing. They're waiting for you there. They're going to cut your head off. Let me go up first, and I'll take the sword. He goes, get out of here, man. That's my sword. I'm going to use it first. You're not going to use my sword first. It's the only one we got. And can we swing it together? No. It's my sword. He goes, but Jonathan, what happens if you get taken out? He goes, we ain't going to get taken out. The Lord done given them in our hands. Didn't we ask this? Jonathan climbed up on his hands and upon his feet. You know, sometimes you just got to get a place where you trust God. He said, give me thy heart. You know what happens when you give God your heart? All of a sudden, you'll sit here and God will start slowing you down, man. I mean, real way down. I'm slowed. He's slowing me so far down. I feel like I'm a granny, slow, just moving, just like a snail. And I think, God, I'm not doing nothing. He goes, that's fine. You're right where I want you to be. Stop. Just stop. He goes, it's not you, it's me. Do you understand that? It's not you, it's me. And it says, after the first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor made, they made 20 in an acre, about a half acre field. They slew 20 people. All of a sudden now, Jonathan's armor bearer has a sword. And he has a shield. As a matter of fact, he can go around the ground there. He's got 20 of them to choose from. As they keep going here, because Jonathan never looked back. You know, it's a point when a man wants to die. If you got to go out of here in the blaze of glory, man, you couldn't beat that. Jonathan said, I'm going to go serve God. And I'm going to do it. You know what the key to a Christian life is? Is figuring that thing out. You go to college to be a professor. If you want to be an engineer, an aerospace engineer, or you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever you want to be. I mean, you have to spend years and years. My son wanted to be a oral surgeon. And they said it would be 12, 14 years of college for him to do that. So he said, okay, I'll just be a dentist. And they said, okay, that's going to be about 8 years. He goes, okay, then I'll just graduate biology. It's 4 years. I'm going to go cut grass. I mean, when he really started thinking about it, do you realize what it takes to do some of this stuff? Yet, when we come to the Christian life, we think it's just an easy thing. And it's not, because God is sitting back here on His throne, by the way, His throne. And He doesn't have to talk to any one of us, but He does. If you ever had Him talk to you, man, that's the sweetest thing in my ears. It's just that little tingle. I know God's there. I've been behind bars and He's talked to me there. Right behind bars, like, oh, God, that's that. He goes, yeah, you really have. Oh, how'd you get here? And you sit there and talk to Him, and He talks right back to you. And people look at you like you're probably crazy. I'm like, Lord, I believe it. I believe Jonathan got a hold of God. I believe Jonathan fought with Him. And it says, verse 15, I'm just about done. And there was a trembling in the host. Jonathan and his armor bearer, when they got atop that thing, It was Jonathan and his armor bearer and that multitude. Watch this thing. That multitude of people up there. And there was a trembling in the host in the field and among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers, they all trembled and the earth quaked. And so it was a very great trembling. Verse 16, and the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. You know, when you get God involved in something, see, a lot of us have never got Him there. We think we got Him there, but we really never got Him there. We got a lot of this stuff right here. We ain't got a whole bunch of this. And you start getting God in the middle of that thing, and I tell you some things. We like, Joel Osteen, I probably shouldn't say anything about Joel Osteen here. Because I know y'all probably, I don't think y'all like him at all. But you know, it's not my pulpit. I shouldn't really say something. But you know that lady in Houston, that lesbian lady? Now, this has nothing to do with your pastor, so don't blame him. It's all me. Y'all can blame me for it if y'all want to do whatever. You know who preached her inauguration speech? Joel Osteen. That makes me sick, man. A man that has a church of 45,000 people sits there and says, oh, God, please bless this. How could that happen? I don't understand it. I don't understand it to my church. I don't understand it. But they seen this thing melt away. You know what that did for Jonathan's armor bearer? Boy, that probably excited him like you wouldn't believe. He jumped up and down and cried. Hey, look, man, I got a gold-plated sword. Got a silver-plated one over here. Got a golden and silver-plated one over here. What am I going to do? Which one? Can I kill them with this? I'll sit over and kill them with this. Next thing you know, man, this whole thing just melts. Saul with 600 guys under a pomegranate tree looks up there, and then they get in on the action at the end of the thing. David did the same thing. Brethren, you know what our problem is today? Is we don't have a heart after God, and we need a heart after God. If we're going to survive in this end times where we're at, you got to get that thing right here. Say, God, I know I can't do it. The odds are against me. The odds are against me. The odds are against me, not against you. Against me. Okay, so if I die, I die. I like David. I was always used to, people say, Mike, how do you pray? I said, like this. Lord, whatever seems good in thine eyes, do. If you got to get me, then get me. That's okay. Do whatever you got to do. Lord, do whatever you got to do. You said, well, that's past. No, it's not. That's the way I pray. Why? Because I think He's in charge. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. I'm tired of directing my path. I'm tired of it taking me where I don't want to go. I want to go. I'm 57 years old. I don't have a lot of time. I got about 13, 14 years left maybe. If I don't get hit by a truck. I'm telling you, man. I got a nurse in my... I hope this is televised. Hi, Conk. I love you. But I got a nurse, man. She says she's going to help my... If anything ever happens, she's going to help my wife take me out. I'm thinking, that is messed up. I got nurses after me, and I got my wife. My wife is sitting there going, and we're going to take you. We know how to do it, too. You know what that is, brother? That's men. My God gave me. Look at her. She's smiling at me right there. I'm going to shut up right here. I'm going to shut up. I'm getting in trouble. Jonathan's armor bearer stuck with him through thick and thin. Never quit. They seen a great victory. Both those men seen a great victory. You know how few people ever see a great victory? Because they never stick it out. You know what you need to do is find your good friend. Brother Peacock has been a good friend to me. I tell him I got a communications problem. I'm an introvert. You probably don't know that, but I really am. I can sit in the corner back here and just be quiet, and I'm okay. I'm a chief. I set my mind down to the road, and I just start peeling away, and I go after a problem, and I fix it. I try to figure out what I'd have to do, and I do it. And when you do all that stuff, every now and then you look up, and you see what's going on, and then you put your head back down on the ground, and you just do it. And then years pass by, and years pass by, and then you get something like this right here. Your heart starts breaking. God, why'd you let me even see that? Why'd you poke my eyes out where I get the ears where I can't hear or see either one? But God says, no. He said, this is the fruit of your labors. People say, well, how do you get your kids involved? 35 years ago, I got saved on a back porch in Louisville, Kentucky. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I asked Him, said, Jesus, you'll never be able to use me. I know I'm nothing. I know I'm a waste. I know you can never use me for nothing in this world, but I'll get saved anyways. How about that? He said, okay, that'll work. I did. Years went by, and I met my wife, and she said, I can't have no kids. I don't think we can have kids. I said, don't worry about that. I said, if God wants you to have kids, you'll have kids. 25 years ago, I got five now. Four of them were up here, or three of them are up here tonight, and all five of them will be up here in the next couple nights. If Brother Peacock said, hey, Mike, will you bring your young people down here? I thought, yeah, man, if you let them sing once or twice, that's fine. That's cool. I'll drive 15 hours to give them a chance to do that. He goes, no, I'll use them. I said, well, that's okay, brother. Just a couple hours. A couple times. A couple times singing. I'll tell you what, to them, they were excited. They've been practicing for 2 months to come down here just to sing. You know what that does to my soul, man? I'm a wretched sinner that should be shot and thrown right into hell. And God lets me see that. I'm like, why do you do it? He goes, because you'll go up the hill when I tell you. You know why God loved David? Because when he got to David, he said, David, and David messed up. Everybody knows David messes up. Everybody messes up. You don't mess up, you're a liar. Okay? You're a liar. You're a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Man, I'm sorry, brother. Nobody didn't offend you.
But you know what? You get a hold of that thing and God says, God says, do what I tell you to do.
You know, sometimes in your life, your whole life is dependent on once or twice where God gets a hold of you and says, do this. I maybe have 5 or 6 or 7 of them in my life in 25, 30 years. I can say, this is definite points where God said, do this. And you do that. God says, that's why David was a man after my own heart. Not because he messed up with Bathsheba. Because when I told him what to do, he did it. And he was always attentive to my ear and he did it. You know why David loved Jonathan? Because Jonathan was the same way. You know why God loves you? Because you're the same way. If you'll listen to what he has to say. It could be a small thing. It could be a great thing. Got a little song done. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. In the mad rush of the Broadway, in the hurry and the strife, tell of Jesus' love and mercy. Give to Him the words of life. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended, and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Amen. Little is much if God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. I'm done. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you got any crowns? You're going to have something to throw back at Him when you get to heaven. I want something that I can throw back. I know He's going to throw it back, but I'm going to throw back at Him. And we got all eternity to throw back at Him. I'm going to get it back to Him. He's going to get back to me. I'm going to get it back to Him. He's going to get back to me. And He's going to do that with everybody up there who's got crowns. I want a white robe. I want my horse. I want my unicorn. I think it's a unicorn. I could be all wrong, but I want my horse. I'm going to shut up because I'm already out of time.